Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast.
Another episode of Naked. My guest today is my cousin, so we grew up knowing each other, of course. We got married around the same time in our lives and eventually had children roughly around the same time as well. I knew little about her life because I was also in the hustle and bustle of children and babies and all of those things. But about a decade ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. So all of us gathered around community, church, friends, family to help her in this journey with going through treatments in ways that we could by cleaning her house and bringing her food and offering massages and taking the kids, whatever needed to be done. The community gathered around her. But what I didn't know, and maybe others didn't know, was that she wasn't only trying to survive cancer. She's also trying to survive an abusive marriage. So today, Penny is sharing her story for the very first time publicly. And it is one of courage, pain, hope, devastation, and freedom. She talks so authentically and openly about this journey. It is just so inspiring to see who she is and what she's become. She has the most infectious laughter and smile. You can't help but be in her presence and just feel like an immense joy. But it didn't come easy. So today, if you're joining us and you are triggered by violence and abuse, please be aware before joining us in this episode. But I do believe that those who are listening today will find hope in their own story. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you being a part of the Naked community.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, the Naked Podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm also so glad for my guest today, who I grew up with. Though our lives weren't very intertwined, we've always known each other because she is my second cousin. So thank you so much, Penny, for being here, for taking the time. I always say this every time. I'm just delighted when people are open to sharing their story because I know how nervous I felt the first time. I was sweating from my pits. I was sweating from the back of my ears, the back of my legs. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this.
yeah.
So I really, really appreciate you being open. And I only know parts of your stories because we haven't sat like this before. We haven't had like an open conversation like this. I know bits and pieces, but I'm so excited that you're here today. So thank you for being here and for taking the time to come and share a bit of your story.
Well, thanks for inviting me, even though it's way out of my comfort zone. and I think the part of my story that you want me to share, I have never shared publicly. So this is a first, and like you said, the nerves are real.
Totally.
But it's good. It's probably time, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you just know when it's time and you're just like, okay, it's time to put this out there. And you never know who's listening and who's going to be able to take something from this and apply it and feel comfort and feel a bit of hope in their own darkness or journey that they're in. So I think that's the beautiful thing about the space and what we try to create as a community. Those people have shared their stories. It's just about letting somebody else know that, hey, I've been there too, and you're not alone in your story. So I feel like all of us have at some point felt very lonely in our journeys and maybe felt like we're the only ones swimming through the mud, you know? So it's a space for people just to feel like they're not alone and that there's somebody out there that's come through it and that there's hope on the other end of it all, you know?
So, there sure is.
Yeah. So before we get started, what are you drinking today?
I'm always a water person. I like my water.
That's amazing.
I'm gonna have some.
That's perfect. If you're not watching this on video, Penny has a giant, beautiful, white, like water bottle with a. I always love straw drinking too. I feel like I drink way more. If I have to open a water bottle, I don't know why. I'm just not prone to drink from it. But if there's a straw, I'm like, hands down, I'm drinking all that water. I don't know. It's so strange.
Oh, I know, right? And I never was a straw person, and this was gifted to me, and I'm like, I am drinking more with the straw.
Isn't it funny, hey? It's just a peculiar. I'm drinking today just a concoction of lemon, honey, cinnamon, and I think there's actually a little ginger in here. It's really good. It's kind of like Christmas in a cup a bit. That's what it tastes like, even though we're nowhere near Christmas, but I'm like, it feels right for today because it was a little crisp this morning, so I was like, a nice Christmas drink will be great.
Oh, yeah. I end my days with something like that. So good.
So cheers. Cheers to being here. Maybe you can tell the listeners today a little bit about, like, where you are right now in your life. I always think it's nice for people to just get an understanding of who you are, where you live, what you're doing, before we kind of navigate into all the things. But, yeah, you've got a... You've just moved. So Penny
just moved, just moved. We moved a week before my son got married. So, and a few days after we celebrated my parents' 50th anniversary. So we had an anniversary trip, then we moved, and then my son's wedding. And I feel like I'm just in recovery mode. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All wonderful things. But it's a lot. Yeah.
That makes sense. Just moving alone is such a task. Never mind, like, trying to find, make sure you have your outfit for the wedding and then the outfit for the anniversary and all the things that go along with it, and making sure you still can find your hair, all your hair stuff. Like, I need to get ready for a big day.
Oh, yeah. All the things.
Yeah. No. Yes. So yeah, you live in Airdrie. I think you've been here for a while, and you've got three beautiful, amazing kids.
Yes, three young adult kids. Crazy how much time flies, but their birthday season's all coming up. So my oldest just turned 25 yesterday. The next one will be 23 in next week.
Wow.
And then my daughter will be 21 next month.
Crazy how fast it goes, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, boom, they're adults. I mean, like, I always feel like with my kids, I'm like, how are you practically my age? Like, I feel like I'm like holding at, like, in my head, I'm holding at 28. I always tell my kids, like, my next birthday, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like my 14th anniversary of my 28th birthday. Like, I don't know. I'm just holding there. And then they get so close to my age. Like, my oldest is 22. I'm like, how are we practically the same age? Because I don't know. It just feels like, although I wouldn't want to be 28 again, but I don't feel like, I don't know. I just feel still really young. And then they just start creeping up to you and getting close to you.
I agree. I know, we're so young in our minds, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we just work at staying active and young in our bodies too, so that we just always feel young.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Greg's mom, or Greg's grandma, was 90, I think 98. And I was like, how old do you feel, grandma? And she's like, oh, about 21. I was like, wow, I guess it just never goes away. Like, that just is part
That's
of
awesome.
Yeah, beautiful aging, right? So yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you live in Airdrie, got a bunch of kids, well, three kids that are now doing their things and growing up, and you have an incredible business, which I always am so inspired. Penny's so funny. She's like, I'm kind of nervous about being on here, but she's always in front of the camera. Like, I see her all the time. I'm like, gosh, she's so inspiring. She's doing these things, like, she's empowering women, and like, you're just so inspiring, and like, you're doing boxing. But yeah, you've got a pretty great business going, from what I understand, and you can kind of working, I think you can kind of work anywhere, from what I understand too, right? So a lot of it's online.
Yes, which I love. So it's totally flexible, which makes me available for when I'm needed or what I want to do, like midweek hiking. Yesterday I did a big hike.
Nice.
Yeah, it is good. And but I am always, always super shy in front of a camera.
Are you? It doesn't show anytime you're on anything that I've seen. You're like, oh, she just, it's just like she was born in front of a camera. It just comes so naturally.
Wow. You're so kind.
No, it's true. I really think that way. Well, thank you for being here, and cheers to this amazing day that you and I get to hang out. I tell everybody, it's like, we're just like having tea in the living room together. Just don't think about anybody else being here but us. But no, I'm genuinely so grateful for you saying yes and being here today. I know what it feels like to be sharing the story. So, and honestly, Pen, like I said to you, just go where it takes you. Cause I feel like there's so many chapters in our life that did change a lot of things. Like, being a parent changes your life, you know, getting married changes your life. So I always say, like, in this moment, just find what comes up in that, in this very essence, and like, what do I want to share today? And what is the time that you can think of in this moment where everything changed? And there may be many of them, as there is for most of us. But yeah, when you can think about a time in your life when everything changed, and you just kind of like I said to you earlier, just let it unfold like a flower, you know? Yeah, that point when you're like, wow, I look back at that and that really did shift who I am.
Okay, yeah, you want me to start?
Totally, you can start wherever you like and we'll just walk our way through it.
Well, I think the starting point for me with a huge change in my adult life was when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, because when I got that diagnosis, for me, it was a big relief because I knew it was an answer to my prayers. Mm. I just didn't know. I thought it would unfold in a different way than it did, but still looking back, like, I just know even to this day how much of an answer to my prayers it was, which sounds probably does not sound normal, and it's not normal. But I'll probably go into why it was an answer to my prayers.
Yeah, I did not know that, but yeah, mm-hmm. Interesting. It's amazing how, yeah, like you say, you don't know what's going on beneath the surface of people's lives and how they're trying. What's the lifeline? And it sounds like getting breast cancer was the lifeline to something that you were hoping for.
Yeah. I mean, when you pray for years and years for something, and for a few months prior, I just could really feel in my spirit that something was coming and I didn't know what. And I felt a little bit of trepidation, like, oh, what if it's something like really, really bad that's going to happen? Or, I don't know. Just, I felt a little bit of anxiousness, but I knew something was coming. Mm. And then when I got that diagnosis, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the answer to my prayers. This is the thing that God is going to use to like really impact and change for the better, I thought, my marriage. Mm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're at a point of desperation at that point.
Oh, yes. I was at a point of desperation for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you get the diagnosis, and then what?
When I get the diagnosis, wow. I guess when you get a cancer diagnosis, for me, the hardest part of it was telling my kids. Yeah. 'Cause when you go through something, I feel like you almost go into this mode of survival, right? And like your mind shifts into this, okay, here we go, right? Like this is a thing I have to walk through, and you know, I'm going to go through it. And it's almost like a protection mechanism in your body and your brain. But for me, that's how I felt. But my kids, you know, that was like, that ripped my heart out to have to tell them.
Yeah.
Because they see things from a totally different perspective. And at the time, they were like 12, 14, 16.
Okay. You're young.
Yeah. At a really vulnerable age, to be honest, when you're preteen teenagers.
Oh, yeah. So much. So much.
So
much that they're trying to figure out, and then to be thinking about you and the dynamics of your home as well, you know, and how to protect you and protect, like, make sure that you get better.
Yeah.
So you get this diagnosis, you tell your kids, and then where does that land with you and your partner at the time?
So I guess I almost should maybe go back. Like, I got married at age 20.
Okay.
And which honestly, in the culture and circle that I was in, was totally normal.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And you know, you obviously, you fall in love, you think this person is so wonderful, you see I mean, you only see one part of it, really.
Yeah.
When things move quickly, which they kind of did, kind of didn't, but looking back, kind of did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also at that time, like, I'm 48 years old now, right? So that's 28 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was an era where things like domestic violence and abuse just was not talked about.
Right.
Warning signs. It was not talked about or discussed. It just was not a thing.
Yeah.
So completely naive, which I think probably a lot of people could say.
Yeah.
And then living 20 years in a marriage where I'm learning now that, like, there's this cycle where things are really, really good, and then it's like really, really not, and then all the, you know, then it's this so-called remorse and apologies, and it's really, really good again, and there's a cycle of crazy making where, you know, somebody can be super amazing on the outside, really helpful and wonderful to other people, and you're constantly being told how lucky you are and how wonderful this person is, and in the home it doesn't look like that,
right?
And, you know, just little things start to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you feel helpless, you wonder if you're crazy,
right?
You feel stuck and you don't know what to do, and you try to go for help, and I mean, a lot of people then too did not know how to help in a situation like that, right?
Yeah.
So this is why I was at this point of desperation, and I had been praying so hard, so much for a heart change, a life, complete life change.
Because
I didn't know what to do.
Right. So to back it up a bit, Pen, so you get married at 20, and then when do you start seeing these warning signs, or these things are like, is this right? Like, it's interesting you're saying, it's like, yeah, it's a bit of a hamster wheel, right? Where things are good, and there's this apologies, and then it's like a dive, and then somehow it gets better. And I remember years ago I did some work in domestic violence shelters, and they say the average woman will leave 7 times before they actually leave finally. You know, it's so much denial, like, it's going to get better. So I just wonder, like, you 20-year-old Penny, where were you, and at what point were you like, something's not right?
Actually, it was pretty quick. Really? And yet, it's like, you know, you're told nobody's perfect.
Right?
Everybody makes mistakes. But it was probably like 2 weeks in when, you know, we stayed at his parents' place for the weekend. They lived out of town. And I was like, okay. The way your dad treats your mom, it terrifies me. Like, it is not good. Mm-hmm. And there's this anger, explosion of anger. And just like, you know, we're driving in a car on a highway.
Yeah.
At highway speeds, and just slams on his brakes in the middle of the highway and yells at me. Wow. And I was like, what on earth? It's not something that I ever experienced growing up, watching my parents, right? And so, but then it's like, oh, that was awful. I'm so sorry. It has been hard growing up in a home like that. I'm going to get help.
Wow.
There's always a thing of, I'm going to get help. I'm going to get counseling.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that was the very first
2 weeks in.
Little 2 weeks in thing.
Wow.
But then it's like, they're so sorry. And it's like, okay, they go for counseling. And always the counseling was like one time. And, oh, my counselor said I'm good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then things are good for a while. And then there might be another little thing. But then things are good for a long time, and nobody's perfect.
Right.
Everybody screws up. We all do, which is so true.
Yeah.
But it's this cycle, this subtle cycle that kind of grows. And, you know, the manipulation of things. Looking back, it's so much easier to see.
Right.
And when you're living in it, it's like crazy making. It's crazy making. You think, oh, this is awful and it's bad, but I'm also being told this on the other hand.
And we can really minimize it too. We're like, well, you know, I've heard of people say, well, it was this type of abuse, not this type of abuse, you know? He didn't hit me. Yeah. He just screamed at me. You know, it's just these things that we justify in our head. Like, at least it's not this, you know, and it is crazy making, because there is these apologies and these deep, like, I'm sorries, that make you confused, you know? Right. They're just like, am I losing my mind? You know?
Yeah. And then the little things, right? Like, they pull you away from your family. Right. And it's like, if my mom would call, we live far away, and he's upset that I'm talking to my mom on the phone, like really upset. And just the, I don't know, the looks, the silence, the accusations of, you know, which is really stupid and frustrating, but like, oh, you treat your family better than you treat me, or you like your family better than me because I'm at home and you're talking to your mom on the phone. So then the phone would ring, and if I knew it was my parents, I'd be scared to answer unless he wasn't there. Then I could talk to them freely, right? Like, just little things like that, right?
Yeah.
Which is a big thing.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's like, oh, it's super annoying and frustrating, but you don't think it's a big deal, but it snowballs.
Yeah.
And over 20 years, things do get worse.
So how did that snowball for you? Did that become possessive over you talking to friends? Did that become like, how did that kind of turn, what did that turn into for you?
Yes, definitely the jealousy and possessiveness with, yeah, family, with friends, with one other thing that it was like, I used to play in a jazz band. So I started, you know, going, and then it was like, how do I really know you're going to jazz band?
Right.
Like, what? Like, ridiculous accusations that make no sense.
Yeah.
So you stop doing things that you love to do.
Right.
You start giving up pieces of who you are, like your passions and your joys, and to keep peace, really.
Yeah.
To keep peace. And so then you find yourself always tiptoeing, walking on eggshells, keeping the peace with your kids, right? Like, if the kids were happy and loud and excited, I'd be shushing them. Oh. If they were upset, I'd be shushing my kids, because I didn't, you know, we never knew how he was going to react. He could get angry if somebody was laughing. He could get angry if somebody was crying. Like, so it was always like, shh, 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 shh.
Just trying to keep the peace everywhere.
Just keep the peace. Walking on eggshells.
Yeah. Wow.
And which I've learned in lots of sessions with my psychologist and in speaking with my oncologist. Living like that for years, can give you a high risk of getting cancer.
Wow.
Because our bodies kind of all have these rogue cells in them. And it just, you know, it's almost, sometimes it's like a crapshoot whether or not they mutate. There's some things that are cancer causing. We know that. Mm-hmm. But often when we are living in high stress all the time, our body can't fight off any kind of disease or like these rogue cells mutating into cancer cells. Our body does not have the ability to fight that off. High stress causes that. So triple negative breast cancer is one of the breast cancers that they are looking at a link. That's a correlation between that, when you don't have the BRCA gene, which I don't, and long time domestic abuse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
So I'm pretty passionate.
Yes, you should be.
About helping other people.
Yes, because you don't know, right? It's like you just, like you say, you can just minimize how you're feeling. You're like, what would this do to our children if we weren't together? All of these ideas of like, you're protecting them by, you know, by staying together. I think that can be a, I don't know how that was for you guys, or if you saw that how he was treating you was obviously affecting the kids, but in what ways, like at what point, I guess it'd be interesting where you're just like, I'm praying for some sort of like change, even if it's me getting sick, for some sort of enlightenment and hope for our family. But what was getting you to that point? Like, so you've gone through all these years of walking on eggshells, it sounds like, and you're trying to figure out, it's like not knowing who's walking in the door every time they come home or who wakes up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is exactly it. Yeah. And it does escalate, right? So then years and years ago, it's like he gets mad and shoves, one shove.
Right.
Oh, it was awful. I was mortified. And I was like, I got to get out of here. Mm. But then it's like, oh, it's no big deal. And, you know, a couple of close friends I talked to, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, that's totally normal. It's happened to me before too, and it's no big deal. Sometimes they just get stressed out. I mean, you know, at the time, still very young, naive,
yeah.
And looking back, realizing that, you know, these friends are also in bad situations.
Yeah.
But, and then years go by and nothing. And then one day it's like, it gets more physical, right? Mm-hmm. And where I'm turtled up and just taking it.
Wow.
And you go for help. And the advice I was given when I went for help was, it's like, well, maybe, you know, he's just under a lot of stress. Lot of stress. And maybe if you can help keep that stress down. I was told, you know, maybe there's like, look at the 5 love languages. What are his love languages? Serve him more.
Oh my gosh, Penny. What can, like, you do more?
All these things were on me.
Yes.
All on me, right? And nobody said, you need to get out.
Wow.
And so I would just keep praying for a miracle and trying to protect my kids. And the thing is, now the things that I know that my kids have been sharing with me over the last few years that happened when I wasn't around, it's humbling. But there was one thing before I got, probably a couple years before I got my cancer diagnosis. I had a customer who was like, we always had great conversations, and it's probably about a year when I could not get a hold of her. And then after a year, she contacted me. And so I went over there for coffee and brought some, you know, products over. And so I was like, where have you been? Like, what's been going on? And so she had been going through a divorce in that time. And one thing she said to me stuck with me, and it would not leave. And I'm so thankful for this. She said, I realized that by me staying, I was teaching my children that his behavior was okay.
Wow.
And that was powerful. And it's true. Mm-hmm. It's a true statement. Sometimes, actually often, by not taking action when something is really wrong, you are teaching your children that that behavior is okay.
Wow. That's a big thing I can imagine for you to feel in that moment of being like, because there is that idea that we're protecting our kids by not leaving, right? We want to keep the family together, Like you say, everybody in your circle is like, that's happened to me too. It's okay. He's probably stressed. You need to do some more. You need to keep him calm. You need to keep the house, you know, and you're all this pressure's on you when you realize that. Someone once said to me, don't be afraid that your kids will do what you do or don't do what you say. Be very aware that they have a front row seat to your life and they will do what you do.
Yep. Actions.
Yeah.
Actions speak volumes over words.
Right. And you're telling them it's okay. This is okay. This behavior is okay. This is okay to live like this. Telling your daughter that that's okay to be with someone like that. Telling your sons it's okay to have that temperature, that temper in your home. And So you, this happened to you, this comedian, this conversation happened a couple of years before you were diagnosed. And so you must have been feeling at that time, obviously, if that resonated with you, that, okay, like, something's not right on a very big level.
Yeah, and you feel stuck, and you, like, really, I had no idea what to do. I just was praying for a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, praying for a massive heart change, praying for a miracle. And so, yeah, getting that diagnosis, I literally was like, this is it. I thought, in my mind, I thought, oh, he's going to change. Like, he'll be, you know, I don't know, some humbling. Because, you know, at beginning, apologies are there, but right. Those, they go away. Right. the apologies turn to excuses, which turns to flipping things and accusations on you.
Right.
So that's also a pattern. But I thought, you know, maybe he would actually be like, oh, scared to lose me. And this, it would just be a wake up call. And what happened was the complete opposite. And I was not expecting that.
Wow.
At all. But I see that it was like necessary, I think, to get to a point where I had no choice but to get out. And it was like the biggest answer to our prayers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you getting diagnosed just made him more agitated, more violent, more aggressive with you. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I'm going to be pretty blunt here. So people with that personality type, jealousy is a big thing. Mm. So if somebody else is getting attention, they don't like it. Mm. And when you get cancer, you don't ask for attention, you just get it, right? Like,
right.
Because people come out of the woodwork and, you know, they're helping, they're bringing meals for you, they're coming to help clean the house. I know you guys did so much for us. Oh my goodness. When I found out, anyway, maybe I'll share that later, but so much. People come and help. And then he's getting constant, you know, messages asking how I'm doing, how can they help? And it's all about
you,
me.
Yeah.
Cause I'm in this position going through chemo. Yeah, that does not sit well with people of a certain personality type, and it builds.
Wow.
And it builds and it builds. And so like little things from like, I was really weak and he would not bring me food. I could physically knock it down the stairs and I was getting no nourishment. He would not let my parents in the house. Like literally, I remember him grabbing my mom and picking her up and putting her out. And she fought to get that door open, literally putting her out of the house, totally blocking me off from outside anything. And yeah, there was one night when he got a reminder text, we're coming to clean your house tomorrow. Because when you go through chemo as well, chemo itself, it's poisonous. And like, it doesn't just go into your body, it comes out of your body. Mm-hmm. So the importance of keeping things clean, especially like bathroom spaces and stuff, it's, mm-hmm. it's a safety thing for all the family. Cause you know, what goes in comes out.
Yeah.
So people were going to come clean, just reminding, and he got angry and he's like, I canceled it. I told him no. And I had just gone through 16 rounds of chemo and just had a blood transfusion. So that's pretty weak. And I was like, then are you going to clean?
Yeah.
And because I'm like, because I can't. And he lost it. He lost it. And so then, you know, there's this physical thing that happens. And I, two of my kids were home. One was not home. And I am laying there kind of crumpled up in my kid's drum set. And two of my kids thought I was dead. And it's a, like, I don't know. I was unconscious. Wow. So things play out and it's scary. Like, it is actually terrifying. Yeah. Wow. Ah, my heart's like palpitating just thinking about that. But thankfully, like, as I learned the things that happened from my kids who were not quick to tell me, like, over a couple of days while I was not conscious, I called my pastor and told him what happened to my son. And he said to me, you know, by telling me this, that it's my responsibility to go to the police, right? And I said, yes. I couldn't do it.
Right.
Like, I was terrified to do it because I didn't know the repercussions that would come back on me.
Right. Right.
But if somebody else did it, then it's not on me. So then you go through that whole process and you're dealing with police and the courts. And I was still going through cancer treatments. I was going for radiation 5 days a week. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So intense.
But thankfully, because that happened and he was removed, he was charged,
okay,
not allowed to be at the home. That in itself was a huge blessing because the kids and I got to stay where we were, as hard as it was, as terrifying as it was.
Yeah.
And so many people came to really help
walk
through that whole process.
Right.
Like, all the things. There's so much that you deal with. I could probably write a book.
Yeah, you probably should.
There's so much. And there's so many people that, like, a huge community that came alongside us that helped us through, which I just, I don't know. I'm thankful every day for that support because it definitely was the hardest time in my life. And it's funny because the cancer treatments, that, I mean, that was brutal.
Yeah.
When I look back, but it was nothing compared to dealing with police, dealing with courts, dealing with all of that. That was the hardest, hardest thing. I felt humiliated.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed, which is a normal feeling, but it doesn't mean it's a right feeling. And yeah, the constant fear. But because I was going through cancer treatments and I really couldn't do anything physically, I was really weak. I spent 2 to 3 hours a day reading scripture, reading my Bible. And my biggest question to God was, what is your heart for me and my kids? What is the truth? I need to know the truth. Because truly, like, growing up in the church, you hear things from certain people that may not be biblically sound, right?
Yeah.
Divorce is always wrong.
Totally.
That is one thing. Another thing, and this is not what I was taught from my family, but you hear it kind of in church circles. Another thing is, you know, wives should always be submissive to your husbands. And the whole role of the husband is left out, which is biblically, is to love and protect and sacrifice and serve his wife. But that part's not talked about as much as the women submit. So I was like, God, I need to know the truth. I need to know your heart for me and the kids in this.
Yeah.
And so I prayed for truth and to show me who he is. And it, like, it was a really beautiful time. That those few months, well, probably closer to a good year. Of those hours spent praying, journaling, reading scripture, and just really seeing how much God loves us. How much Jesus values and served and really lifted up women even in his day and age, how much he cares for women and children and the orphans and single women, and how this kind of behavior that we'd been living with, God does not tolerate. Mm-hmm. And it's so clear reading in scripture, like he does not tolerate it. And so that was really validating. And then praying for truth. Oh. God shows you things when you ask him to. The first thing, because, you know, from what I was hearing from outside, from friends, from people in the church, was that the person I was married to kept, I'm doing everything to get my family back, you know, so humble and, you know, I'm doing all the right things. This is what was being said. But then one day I get a call from someone I was really close to. She's like, so Penny, my roommate is on match.com and you'll never guess who she just got matched with. And wow. It was the person I was married to. I was like, okay. And then one of my pastors saying, you know, we were out for dinner as a family and we caught him on a date. So, and my son's friend, same thing, telling him, oh, you know what? I saw your dad out with another woman. So all these things coming to you, which I needed to hear because it was so validating, because I always wondered, I always wondered what was going on. And to get that truth from several different people, it was not just three, right?
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah,
it was good. I asked God to show me the truth and he did.
Yeah. It's being like validated, right? What you feeling and what's going on. Like, okay, this validates what I know in my heart, but I haven't seen it, but you just know it, right? It sounds like that was like the permission you needed to be like, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not crazy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is actually happening. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a roller coaster ride in the midst of, like you said, it's interesting. You're saying you're like going through cancer was difficult and 15 rounds of chemo and all of these things, but nothing to compare with like being being validated that this, but you weren't crazy and that what you were going through was actually real and give you grounds to be like, this is not, like you said, what is right for my kids and myself. And I think, I think a lot of times we can ask ourselves what's right for our kids. We forget to ask ourselves what's right for us. You know, we can put our kids so much more ahead of ourselves. And like you said, now over years, you've realized that your kids endured things that you never knew at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's trying to protect somebody, you know, in that space.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going through all that whole process, man, there's so many things. Like, financially, or actually, first of all, when you talk about kids, it's true. Looking back, I didn't take action until I found out what had happened to my kid. And for me, I had been so low as a human and so devalued myself that what happened to me, it didn't matter to me. It wasn't enough. And then when I heard what happened to my kid, that's when I took action.
Right. It's even interesting when you're going back, thinking about something you said earlier, is that you told your pastor about what happened to your child. And I wonder if part of that was because you weren't sure of the repercussions if your partner found out that you were the one that was calling the police, what repercussions does that do to you and to the children? Whereas you needed to have somebody on the outside who knew what was going on so that wasn't all on you. Because that
exactly
could have been.
Yeah. It's a protection safety mechanism for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he gets removed from the home. You're still going through treatments and you've got the kids and you've got support, a lot of support, it sounds like, but still you're weeding through. Did you kind of know, like when that happened, and then you got the clarity about he was with other women and these things, was there a point where you're just like, okay, that's now severed and that's now I'm moving on? Or was that something that you had to swim in for a while to really let yourself accept what the next was?
Yeah, exactly.
It
was not a clear thing, because I, like I said, those months pouring through scripture and asking God, like, what is truth? What is your heart for me? I needed to know in my heart, because I mean, when I got married, I committed for life,
right,
before God and witnesses. And I take my commitment seriously.
Yeah.
I never in a million years could have possibly imagined that my future would look like it does now, like as a single mom, divorced, not in a million years.
Yeah.
And so that was a big struggle, because that was not my life. Mm-hmm. It was not the way my life was supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And even with like all of those ideas, you know, the unspoken expectations, if you will, even around certain groups, certain religious groups that can make you feel like you've fallen, like you failed, that if you didn't, you know, stick with what you promised, that you were the failure. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what you said earlier. It's like, oh no, like if I need to be submissive to my husband under all circumstances, you know, which is a bit of a mind trickery, because it's not true. You know,
I know. And you know it, cause you're reading and you're going like, what about this?
Yeah.
What about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that other stuff is just so much louder, I guess, because it keeps you confined to stay, even when you're so weak and you're not getting fed and you're having to hide under, you know, in a drum kit, and your kids are just like, is my mom alive? Even then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It is crazy. It is hard. And I have to say, I've seen this said many times. Well-meaning people, super kind people, when they know a woman is in a situation that is not safe, and they're like, hello, just get out. Just leave. That really bothers me, because there are so many things. And what you said at the beginning, it's true. I learned a woman will leave 8 times and go back and go back and go back, mm-hmm, before they leave for good. And there's so many reasons. One is safety. It's terrifying. And you are actually putting yourself in danger, most likely, or your kids. Two, financial. Usually when you're in this situation, you don't have the finances to leave, because there is a control over that, whether it's in that they control all the money and you have none of it and access to none of it, or in that they spend all the money.
Right.
And you're always trying to figure out how to pay the bills, but it's just gone. And for me, like, stole the RRSPs, like kept clearing out our joint checking account. And like, the financial aspect is huge, and it's scary. And it's like, where do you go?
Right.
A shelter will hold a woman and her kids for about 21 days.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah.
Right. There's a gap and there's a missing piece,
mm-hmm,
that is really important and necessary. And yeah, that missing piece is where we really need to help out women and their children in these situations.
So what do you think that is, the missing piece?
A place for them to go for at least a year after a shelter, where they can get counseling, they can get free legal guidance, right, they can have an opportunity to work and get on their feet while their kids are being well cared for. They have a place where they can financially take time, financially get on their feet without the stress and worry about that. Also where they can't be found.
Right.
So that they can navigate all those things. Just the court system itself is overwhelming.
Yeah.
and it does not favor in Canada, both parties have to agree.
Right.
And so when you have somebody who will just disagree, right, doesn't matter what it is, to make the other person miserable, it's really hard to move forward or to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's very expensive.
Right.
So,
you know, leaving it's a missing all piece. This debt, right? Like you're trying to fight for your kids and
yeah.
And all of that, that no one, you're trying to swim yourself out of, just keep your kids' head, you know, covered and your food in their bellies, never mind the legal fees that are on top of that and all the stress that comes up. You are looking now back from where you are now to, mm-hmm, to where you've come from. What would you tell somebody? Because I feel like you have such a, your view is so broad and you can see all the signals and all the signs. And if somebody's listening today who's like, I just feel stuck, like what would you want them to know about them and about their journey that you wish you knew?
I would say trust what you know in your gut and talk to many people, get outside counsel from many people, reach out and get help. I would also say that you are so valued, you are so loved by God, your life matters, and you are stronger than you probably think you are. And there's hope on the other side, even though the journey might be really hard. It's worth going through to get on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's good. You are enough.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are loved. You are valued.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people want to help.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in this world who will walk alongside you and be there to support you and your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw that.
So find them.
Yeah. 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 There's communities out there, probably even more than when you went through this. I feel like there's a lot more awareness around these things. You just got to find the right supports, whether it be an online support or a church support or whatever it is that, you know, community, there's people that can link arms with you and remind you that you're not swimming upstream alone, you know?
Yeah.
That you have, there's people around you that want to help you. Yeah. Wow. And so where is life like now, fast forward, I think it's been 12 or 10 years. Has it been?
I am 9 years cancer free.
Wow. Penny.
So that's from the day of my surgery. So like 8 years since I finished treatments.
Okay. Wow.
I know. It's so good.
That's amazing.
It's so good. It's been a road, right? Like physical healing. There's still things physically that I will just always deal with, side effects from the chemo and all that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Cause I'm alive. I'm really thankful.
Yeah.
And the healing that my kids and I have gone through has been quite a journey, but it's just watching them thrive and, just how close they are now and, you know, the easy laughter that comes and how much fun we have when we're together. Like just seeing that it's just the best.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I was going to ask you that, like how have the kids grown in to themselves and like become adults and how is their healing and how is that with you and the kids? Sounds like they're doing really well.
They're doing really well. It was not easy. Like at first, when you're so, you know, you're scared to laugh, you're scared to get mad, you're scared, you expressing feeling can be a scary thing because you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get from your dad.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like immediately after the fact, there was this testing period, not that they knew they were doing it, mm-hmm, but all the emotions came out in a big way and it was hard. It was hard, but just knowing like seeing us from the outside and knowing, okay, this is what's happening. They're really testing the waters and seeing where they have safety.
Yeah.
And loving them through with patience, loving them through the whole thing and not reacting in anger or, but just being a calm, safe place for them to like let all their anger out, let all the crazy laughter out, let all the tears and the questions and let all that out is so important.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a journey, but then they realize that it's safe and it's okay and they can, their personality starts to come out again and it's beautiful.
So they've just kind of blossomed as they've healed and as you guys have healed together as a family. It sounds like.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Wow, yeah. Penny, that is quite a story. I feel like there's a book in you.
I know, right? I could write a book.
I mean, and just like how you come through it, right? And how you've sought health, not just for yourself, but for your kids, for a safe place in the most devastating time of your life. I mean, you've had to like hold your kids and let their all of their emotions come bubbling out while you probably had so many of your own, not only with your health, but also the person that you loved and did life with and had three amazing kids with. Like you made space for them and somehow, you know, you cultivated safety for them when it wasn't safe for them. And you let them laugh and you let them cry and you let yourself probably be authentic and do those same things. Because as we do, they do, you know.
Yeah, so true. They watch what we do. They do what we do.
Totally. We're kind of coming to a close, but as you think about the journey you've been on, is there anything you would want that just comes to mind in this moment that you would want somebody to know that's above and beyond of what you've already said? Maybe there's not.
Above and beyond what I've already said. Honestly, I just want everyone to know that they are loved. They are created for a purpose by a God who loves them. And and I hope they find that and that joy and that peace.
That's good. What's bringing you currently in your life, bringing you joy?
What brings me joy? So many things. I spent so much time in scripture every day and just the joy of knowing Jesus. And I love being able to be out in nature and experience creation. And I love hiking. It just brings me joy having my kids around and just being silly and laughing and, you know, watching my middle kid get married and having a beautiful, incredible daughter-in-law and those and wonderful friends who are real friends going through this kind of thing. It really weeds out the,
I bet.
You know, the surfacey friends from the real friends. And those are the things that really fill my cup.
So many. That's amazing.
I'm a pretty happy person.
You are. And you have always had this like infectious laugh about you. You're just like, you can't be around you, not be like, I'm smiling because you're smiling. It's just like, it's just who you are. You just have that light about you. Even though you've been through so much, that's never left you. You've always had a light in you. And that is beautiful. And laughter does so good for the heart, you know, and you've continued that. Yeah, so good for the heart.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story. I did not know many parts of that. So I was like, wow, you really treaded through a lot. And you've come through it. And you're here and you're thriving and you're 8 years cancer-free and three amazing kids and great friends and a thriving business. And I'm so proud of you for doing all the hard things. Even when it was probably dark, you know, you seem to lean towards the light. And I'm grateful that we have gotten to do life, even if it's been from afar from sometimes. I'm always so inspired by you and your smile and just who you are. Yeah. So
thanks, Janelle. I love you so much.
Aww, I love you.
You've too. Inspired me too many times.
Mm. Well, it could be a big hug from afar, but thank you for being here and for sharing your story. Hope you have a beautiful rest of your day as you go find nature while it's still full of trees and leaves are still so beautiful outside. It's the best time of year, really.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, take care, Pen. Love you so much.
Love you. Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes. Plus, it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.